This morning's New Testament lesson comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. My sisters and brothers, I'd like to share with you now our New Testament lesson, which comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I invite you to listen to it as though you're hearing it for the first time. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once a little boy came home from school rather excited, and he found his dad, who was the only one home at the time. He said, Dad, I have a question. What is it? Now, this little boy was in third grade, and he still had lots of enthusiasm, and this question seemed to be burning in his heart and mind. He said, Dad, where did I come from? Well, the father thought, uh-oh, here it is. This is the moment for the talk, the birds and the bees, and he began mumbling and stumbling through what he wanted to tell his little son. But after about a minute and a half or so, the little boy said, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about, but there's a new boy in school who's from Nebraska. I want to know, where am I from? Well, today, friends, we're going to be talking about the family, and we start by affirming the truth. The family is from God. And we're going to be talking for 4 weeks about the critical role of the family in our lives. We're going to be talking about Christian family matters from a variety of perspectives. But all of it will be with the understanding that God has created the human family. There are some 5,000 species of animals, of mammals on this earth. 5,000 different species. Only about 3 to 5% of them have a relationship where two adults in the species match up, mate up, and spend their lives together. All the others, they just kind of come and then go. So God could have made us as humans in any number of different configurations, as nature implies. He could have made us like the reptiles, where we just kind of meet up, procreate, and then go our separate ways. The babies come, they never know their parents, they just go off and do their thing. God could have done that. He didn't. God created us in a unique and significant way to live in human families. And today, we affirm not only that the family is God's creation, but that the purpose of God in making the family is that the family be a lifelong laboratory for learning and loving. That's the purpose of the human family. The family in which you live and from which you came. The family is a lifelong laboratory for learning and for loving. Let's remember that long before there were governments and churches, long before there were counselors and social service agencies and community development organizations, there was the family, created by God to give life and sustain life. It is at the heart and the foundation of who we are as human beings. And we're all in some form of family. Your family is unique unto you. There's no one specific way to be family. Some of you live in large families and some in small. Some have children at home and some those children have gone on and others have no children. And some live in nuclear families and some have large extended families and some are very big and some just one or two. And some in your family would say that I have a dear friend who has been so close to me for so many years. They are like family. Many different ways to be family, but all families are created by God and intended by God to be a lifelong laboratory for learning and for loving. We know that family is important. At the same time, right at the start, it's very important for me to say this, that family is not the most important thing in your life. And some will not like to hear that. One person, Kyle Eidelman, who has written some books that we've used in our small group ministry, wrote a book called The Deification of Family and Marriage. Because some people, including Christians, seem to think that what we worship, what we have as the most important thing in our lives is our family. Now, family is very important. My family is very important to me. But the most important thing is God. Tom Landry was a famous football coach of the Dallas Cowboys a number of years ago. Won lots of trophies and championships. He was a man of faith, and at one point, after a long career of spending countless hours with the football team, someone said, "What have been your priorities in life?" And he said, "They are three. First is God, second is family, and third is football." He illustrates what I believe, that while family is so very important, and we spend this month talking about how to strengthen our family, let's always remember that the most important reality in our lives is God and Jesus Christ. Now, We also acknowledge right at the start that living in families is not easy. You have very specific thoughts, memories, and experiences of how challenging family can be. Family challenges have been so common that many jokes and TV shows and other ways of celebrating as well as laughing at ourselves in the family have been made. Here's a brief video to just depict how challenging family can be. Let's watch.
Wow, this pizza's really good.
Wow, have you ever stopped talking?
What's for dinner tonight?
We're having meatloaf tonight.
Meatloaf again?
When you finish school and you get a job and you're making your own money and paying your own bills and your own house, that's when you get to decide what's for dinner.
Honey, I'm home.
Well, look who decided to grease us with his presents.
But there was traffic.
Traffic. Is that what they're calling it these days? I have a fever. I'm going to bed. They're all yours.
I have a science project due tomorrow. Who's going to take me to gymnastics today? Are you cooking today? I'm starving. Someone stole my bike. I broke your computer. And I'm...
Dramatic.
Isn't she just the cutest thing? You know, you should be thankful to have a younger sister like her. You should apologize to her.
I just want to give my big brother hugs, kisses, and love.
Aww, give her what she wants.
But she's not who you think she is.
So those are just a few snippets of reality. Reality that families can be challenging, and you can fill in the details in your family. Please be sure to know that as I and the other pastors talk with us about family this month, we do not do so as experts. I am not a perfect family member by any means. Many failures and mistakes. The other pastors would say the same. But we do have a unique ability, I hope, to interpret Scripture and help you understand it. And I have studied human relationships and families for many, many years, and have listened to countless, hundreds and hundreds of people come and talk with me face to face about the challenges in their family. So we are not experts, but we do think that what we have to share this month will help you reflect on family priorities and how to strengthen your Christian family. We're going to be talking about words in the family. We're going to be talking about what family sacrifice is all about. We're going to be talking about how to live in the Christian family in today's culture. But today, we're going to be talking about some of the fundamentals, the basics of what is a strong Christian family. And we're using as a text background 1 Corinthians 13, the wonderful passage on love that Pastor Deb read a moment ago. So there are four fundamental principles that we're looking at today. Four fundamental principles of a strong Christian family. The first is enduring commitment. Enduring commitment. From the very beginning, when God made us to be in relationship with God and with each other in a formal, committed way. God said, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." The establishment of a commitment between God and his children. We live in such commitments. Hundreds of times, maybe 500 times, I have stood often right at this altar and participated in a ceremony of marriage where two people say to each other that they will live and love together for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And you know those words. That is a commitment. They stand before God and other people and make a commitment. Likewise, it's been my privilege and great joy to have baptized over my ministerial years perhaps as many as 1,000 babies, to take into my arms a little precious life after hearing the parents make a commitment to raise that child in the faith of Christ, to raise that child in the church of Christ, and to be examples and teachers until that child affirms their own faith. Commitments. And day by day by day in our family lives, we make commitments to each other and we fulfill them. Sometimes more formal and official and public and often very private. But still, we make commitments to each other because Christian families stand and survive and thrive on enduring commitments made and kept. And another word for commitment is promise. Life and strong Christian families survive, thrive, and find joy in keeping the promises they make to each other, explicit and implicit. Commitment, therefore, is making promises to God and to each other for an unknown future of unknown circumstances, no matter what. When we make promises, we do not know the future. But strong Christian families make those promises, keep those promises, no matter what. It's not easy by any means. And Paul leads his teaching about love by saying love is patient. To keep enduring commitments and promises in the human family takes great patience, doesn't it? But love is patient. The second fundamental principle that we think about today for strong Christian families is mutual respect. Mutual respect. Now, the word respect is an important word to think about. The derivation of that word itself teaches us how to have strong Christian families. The word respect comes from the Latin. Spect is the basic part of the word that goes way back, and it means to look at. To look at. For example, when something is a spectacle, people want to look at it. When someone comes to inspect something in your home, they are looking at something very carefully. Glasses, eyeglasses, used to be called more commonly spectacles. So to respect is to look at again, because the prefix re is to do again, return, reinvest, to do again. So respect is to look again at what another person is saying or needing or wanting. To look at again is an act of listening. To have mutual respect in our families is to listen very carefully. Maybe you've ever been in a conversation with someone in your family, and maybe there's some frustration that communication isn't going so well. And someone might say, "Do you see what I'm trying to say?" Isn't that telling? Do you see what I'm trying to say? They want you to see. And they're asking to be respected as you look again at what they are saying. Now, that does not mean that in our families we have to agree. Not at all. Many times we will disagree, sometimes severely. That's all right. And sometimes we have in our families to set boundaries where we have to say no to another person or to something someone else wants. And that can be hard to both say and to hear. But once we communicate that, we have been respectful in listening and then in thoughtfully responding. Mutual respect is the second fundamental principle for a strong Christian family. Paul uses this phrase, love is kind. To be respectful of each other in our families is an act of kindness and an act of love. The third principle is a critical one for strong Christian families from where I live, and that is that strong Christian families have the fundamental principle of perpetual grace. Perpetual grace. Now, grace, theological concept, at the heart of our understanding of God. By grace, we are saved through faith. Grace is God's unconditional love for the undeserving. It depicts how God looks at us and how God loves us. It means that no matter who you are or what you have done, God loves you. It means that nothing you do will make God love you any more or less. Grace is unconditional love for the undeserving. Time and time again, we can look in the mirror in our home families and say, I don't deserve love after what I just said or what I just did or after this or that. But in a Christian family with strength, there is perpetual grace. And I know I have been the recipient of grace in my family throughout the years with mistakes made, things said that shouldn't have been said, not being present. On and on. I know that. And you do too. It is grace, perpetual grace in the Christian family that keeps a family strong. Because we continue to love each other in spite of all those things, just as God continues to love us in spite of all those things. Perpetual grace. Paul's teaching that fits here says, love does not insist on its own way. That's grace. Grace relinquishes the right to judge, to criticize, or to blame, remembering that God loves us anyway, and so we are to love our family members anyway. Grace relinquishes the right to judge, criticize, or blame in our family, remembering that God loves us anyway, and so we in the family are called to love each other anyway. And the fourth fundamental principle is this. It's the principle of shared faith in Christ. Strong Christian families have a shared faith in Christ. Christians believe that Christ is Lord and Savior. Research shows that not just Christians have a connection between shared faith and strong families, but people who are Muslims or Buddhist or Jews. People in all religions, research has revealed, across the board, when there is a shared faith, families are stronger. For we who are Christians, when there is a shared faith in Christ, families are stronger. Now, I know this can be very hard, and this is one of the difficult things in many families. I know that. It's hard because in some families, there are different levels of faith commitment and belief. In some families, children who were raised in the faith have grown up and then stepped away from it, even rejected it. And I know that in some families, even the interpretation of Christian faith can cause division because some believe strongly in this particular theological view and some in another particular view. It can be hard. We do not seek in our Christian families unanimity or uniformity. But what we should seek is unity, that we have a shared faith, which is the spiritual glue that holds the Christian family together. And that is an aspirational goal we need to have. My daughter Angela, who's here with us today, and I were talking about this, and as a professional psychotherapist who counsels many people and an active Christian herself, I want to read what she said that helps me think about this. I hope it helps you as well. Angela said, "The Christian journey is not meant to be taken alone, and the family is God's gift for how to do it. We are hardwired to do this together." Hardwired, meant to do this together, this Christian journey. Thank you, Angela, for that thought. We together are a part of a Christian family, however you define it, and shared faith is a fundamental principle to keep the family strong. Once a man went to his door to see that he had received a package. And on the package it said in bright red, "Fragile, handle with care." He saw the return address and something clicked in his mind. He sort of remembered what this might be. As he opened it up, it came together. Because as he opened this small box, inside were the family portraits, the pictures that his family had recently had taken at the church as a part of the church-wide pictorial directory. And he looked at his family, and then he looked at the box. Fragile, handle with care. And indeed, he thought, as we must know, that our families are fragile. We must handle them with great care and with great prayer. May you have the wisdom to learn and to live these fundamental principles of a strong Christian family. Let's pray. Lord God, by your creation, we know what you want. We know what your will is. And we know that you have given us our family. Lord, we thank you. At the same time, Lord, we confess that we've not always been good, strong, or faithful family members. So help us, God. Help us to reflect on your truths. Help us to consider these principles. Help us to make new commitments and new priorities in that place where we need to, so that our own family, our own Christian family, might be stronger and stronger in faith. These things we pray because of Jesus, our brother. Amen.